Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran.
And we wrote with our colleague Stephen Slate,
The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap.
What we want to talk about today is what's going on online and why we say what we say, why we do what we do, why we did all of this for the last 37 years.
Yeah, 37 years.
And wrote the book. For me, it's 36 years because I joined the fray in 1990. And I want to make something very clear, okay, for all those people who feel instantly offended when we criticize AA. And that is, for us, when we, well, first of all, you should know, from the moment I went to my first meeting when I was 9 years old with my dad, it felt very strange and awkward. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when I was a young girl going with my dad, people were inappropriate to me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And men specifically were inappropriate with me. And now I know why, but none of that really, when I went for myself and instantly with my first week there, the men that knew me when I was a child, a couple of them approached me and were inappropriate then. And I was 22 years old. So, but that was never what our criticisms were about. It could have been. When we started to criticize AA, it was about what AA taught. It was always about the dogma. It was always about the ideology. And we became critical because we realized that it didn't work for most people. We could see that right from the beginning. I mean, I've sponsored so many women within my first, you know, within that 10 years that we were there, mm-hmm. and the vast majority of them didn't stick around. And that troubled me. That troubled Mark. Mm-hmm. You know, it troubled us every time somebody would leave and die. You know, we weren't saying the things that we hear in meetings that you even see online now, which is some have to die so others may live. What? What a terrible mantra. And that all that did was make me realize something is terribly wrong here. So yes, people are preyed upon in meetings. That's a problem. Okay. That's been a problem forever. It started with the founder. Okay. People are preyed upon in meetings, financially, sexually, in all kinds of ways. But that's going to happen in almost, and that happens in the workplace, that happens in a lot of organizations. And not that I would ever give it a pass, but if the ideology worked, then you'd want to fix that part. But the ideology is a huge part of the problem. And so when we're critical of AA, we're not being critical of the people there. But the people that come on and are, you know, spewing hate at us kind of prove our point.
Yeah, they do. And so we're going to have a live event. Now, this podcast will be around forever, right? It's evergreen, they call that. So when I say that, there may not be in the future a live event. But we are announcing that we're going to have a live event. Do we have the date for that?
Yes. We are having a Move Beyond 12-Step Recovery live event for anybody that wants to move beyond 12-Step Recovery on June 4th. It's noon Eastern time. We're in the U.S. So if you're in the U.K., that's 5 p.m. If you're out on the West Coast of the United States, it's 9 a.m. And so you can figure out what time it is wherever you are, because the only people, we have a lot of followers in New Zealand and Australia, because English-speaking countries. And we are going to discuss possibly doing another one at a time frame where you guys will be able to attend. I mean, you still can attend. It's going to be the middle of the night for you. You know, whether you're in Sydney, Australia, it'll be 2 a.m. If you're in New Zealand, it'll be like 4, 5, 6 a.m., somewhere around there. So you can attend if you want. It'll, like, I think the next day, right? So if it's June 4th here, it's June 5th there. We know, because we work with people. We coach people out in that side of the world. But everyone is welcome to attend.
But it's going to be recorded. So,
yeah.
But if you want to ask questions, we'll probably have an event for New Zealand and Australia later.
If you want to talk to us live.
Because a big portion of this event is we're going to present how do you move past the recovery cult, right? Let's say you're in it or you're being introduced to it and it feels weird and you're just, that's not for you, which is really common. 95% of the people that go to rehab or AA never return. They say, this is not for me.
Right.
But a lot of times they can't put their finger on it. They just feel that it's kind of strange and the disempowering message isn't what they want. So regardless of where you sit on that spectrum, whether you've been wholly abused like we were in AA, in the cult of AA, or you're somebody that's being introduced to it, or you just don't want to fall into the trap, but you know this whole thing's strange, wherever you sit on that spectrum, this event will be for you. The other thing is we're going to have a big Q&A session in that live event. So we really want, maybe not necessarily... I don't want to attract trolls that just want to be pissed off because we'll silence you if you're just being a jerk, right?
Yeah.
If name calling and that.
Yeah. If you're coming in to be abusive, we can actually eject you from it. It'll just be a waste of your time that day. But look at, if you had a good experience or in early AA, maybe you credit AA with helping you to get your life together, but now you're just ready to move on. That's what this is going to be about. This is not going to be, you know, a 30-minute AA bashing session. That's not what it's about. Because they call it bashing when we criticize it. It is what we're really focused on. We're going to have about a 30-minute presentation. And what we're going to focus on are, first of all, we're going to show you that you've never been powerless, and we're going to explain why you may have felt that way. Mm-hmm. You know, we felt that way at one point in time. So we understand that feeling. Yeah. But we're going to show you the evidence because it's pretty stark.
We're going to show you a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to show you that how to deconstruct the whole paradigm. And people ask all the time, you know, why is the freedom model so focused on, they see it as bashing, right? Like Michelle said, but why are you so focused on?
Why don't you just say what you do?
Right. That's it. So
that is what we do, is deconstruct it.
Yeah. So that's what we do, is this entire book virtually, except for maybe like 7 chapters, out of the 23 chapters and all the appendices, is devoted to debunking all the lies. So you've been told lies, and a lot of people don't know their lies. They don't know that there's misinformation in AA, that it was made up, that it's fiction, that it's Bill Wilson's book of fiction. His entire first 5 years of spreading his version of bastardized Christianity, which is what AA is, was a complete abysmal failure, riddled with all kinds of infidelity, death, chaos, corruption. It was a train wreck. But all of that got ignored by his book, Alcoholics Anonymous, which is touted as one of the greatest medical achievements of mankind of the 20th century, which is laughable when you start to break it down. And so they ignore the history. We don't ignore the history. We have things like the deprogramming from the 12 steps course that we offer, where I go through all of that. And we're going to go through a lot of that at the live event as well. So that you're given that information. Now, so the question becomes, who should come to this event? Michelle already hit on some of that. But if you're somebody that is quietly saying, I don't know what value these meetings have for me. Yeah. I feel like they were good for me. I like the fellowship. We hear this all the time.
Yeah.
This was us. You know, we spent 10 years in AA and another probably 10 years as children and adolescents in the cult of AA. So we were introduced to it young and we were members for a long time, but we were skeptical members because we're researchers. So what we're trying to do for all those people that have this quiet sort of question in the mind that, oh, this is kind of weird, but I feel like it helped me. Well, we can tip that apple cart over so that you spill into freedom, where if you had the knowledge, you don't have to spend 10 years wondering like we did. You don't have to spend 10 years doing all the research to figure out, holy shit, this is a cult. I knew something was wrong, but you know, we had to go through all of that.
Well, what makes it difficult, and I think one of the most difficult things for me about when I went to AA and then when I was extricating myself from it, right? When I went, people, places, and things. So I had to switch jobs. I was told, right, that I had to switch jobs because the woman that I worked for was somebody that I had a drinking relationship with. But she'd also was my best friend's mother from childhood. And so I'd known her since I was young. I had to leave all of my friends. And as much as I was, you know, a really heavy drinker and a lot of my friends had become a little bit distant, it was still everybody I'd ever known, right? My whole life. So I had to leave all my friends behind. I had to leave family behind. I was encouraged to make my whole life about AA, right? And I did that. And so when you do that, when you leave everyone else behind, and we see this even with people who are married and encouraged not to be with their spouse, right? You need to be at meetings. You need not to be with their children. You make your whole life about AA. And much like when you were drinking, you were losing everything. When you go to AA, you kind of lose everything.
Yeah, I mean, you look at my family and yours. My mom, we lost our mom.
Yes, you did.
You know, my mom had 12 kids. I'm the youngest, 12 kids. And you know, she was there. And then in 1971, she went to AA. And by 76, she was gone.
She was gone. She left all 12 kids.
Yeah, she was just completely, totally devoted to AA. All the slogans were in frames and pictures on the wall, you know, keep things simple, and, you know, one day at a time. And we had the bumper stickers, friends of Bill W. I mean, fully immersed in the cult. It was so entirely fucked up and sad. So we lost our mom, you know, and she never backed down from that. Recovery was her number one goal and her children. My sisters really suffered because girls need their mom.
Yeah.
And she was non-existent. She left. And that was that. And then we became, instead of her children, we became counseling projects, which that relationship was so unbelievably sad. And we ended up resenting our own mother because we became projects of hers. And she would impose her own guilt and all of this baggage that AA was filling her head with, she would impose that upon us. She wanted us to be this sort of broken family that had all these issues. And I remember as a kid, even with my mom being gone and the divorce happening and our family splitting apart and all of that, I was like, I don't I don't think it's that bad. Like, I just wish you'd not be this weird woman now.
Yeah.
You know, this cult person.
Well, and the same thing happened with us when Dad started going to meetings. This was 77. He was mandated because he was arrested. He got a DWI and then a few other felonies to go with it. And then he was arrested. And so this was right at the beginning when they were going, you know, he's otherwise a upstanding member of the community. So we'll just have him go to meetings, have him go to detox and go to meetings. He needed to go to detox for a week. And then AA member visited him there. And so he started going to meetings. Well, he also kind of jumped in with both feet. And very, very quickly, our whole lives became about AA. And where every single night my parents were dragging us to meetings. I was 9, my sister was 7, and my brother was 4. And so a couple of us would, the two younger ones would go with my mom to Al-Anon, and I would go with my dad to AA meetings. And eventually they moved my grandfather in with us. So he was taking care of us at night, but my parents were gone every single night to their meetings. And then they started dragging me to Alateen meetings at 10 and Alateen. I mean, it was all this stuff. And all of a sudden he started moving people in with us. He would take in people that were homeless, and his whole world became about these people. And we took a back seat. Like, it was AA, his career, and then us.
And that whole thing is predicated on 5 different chapters in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which is really a recruitment manual. Yeah. And people, if you go onto our Facebook page, people don't see it.
No.
80% of our content or the results of our content are negative. People get really pissed off. And
the
then
commenters.
The commenters. Yeah.
And any video we do, we may not even talk about AA. We may just talk about moving past recovery in a very positive light. And now, we have people that are targeting us, you know?
Yeah. Now, that's always been the case. So for the last 37 years, as we've exposed and shed light upon the false information, people have been mean and threatening and all of that, because it is a cult, because you're challenging a belief system that is very attractive to a certain group of people, which is, I can insulate myself from the difficulties of life by going to meetings and having this massive distraction called AA and this fellowship where I can just regurgitate my past,
yeah,
and not have to change anything about myself. And I can distract myself from my job, my career, mm-hmm. my family, the responsibilities of my life, and insulate myself with the excuse that I have this disease that really is non-existent. And so when we challenge all of that, we're sort of shattering their religion. And we're not doing that to be mean. We're not doing that for any other reason, but because there are just as many people who don't want to be doing that.
More people.
And yeah, 95% of the people that get into the recovery cult as a whole don't last more than a year. They say, this is craziness. This doesn't make sense for me. And I don't know why. So when we wrote this book, we explain why. I mean, all the myths are there and all of them are debunked. And so we are legitimately deconstructing a religion that's based in fiction, Bill Wilson's fiction, his work of fiction. So this is really hard for people.
Well, and I want to also talk about the fact that we started there and really worked hard during the 90s to figure out what worked about AA.
About AA, right.
That was our goal, was to figure out what works. How did we change? And I did a video where I talked about being recruited by treatment, and which really upset a lot of people. And but there was a group of women that were my little clique, right? That I joined this little, I kind of became part of this little clique. A lot of them because they were at those meetings that we would go to, and they all became counselors. In this little clique that I was in, there was probably four or five people, and they were like, "You need to come and work with us. You need to come and work in treatment. This is, you know, you're why not get paid for what we're doing for free anyways?" And my problem was, I don't know how I stopped. I didn't know.
Now I want to talk about that, because she didn't know, because I didn't know, because most people don't know, because the actual method of changing is completely ignored within AA.
Yes.
And AA is giving credit. So something outside of yourself, this apparatus called recovery, becomes your focal point. And so you're giving credit to meetings, but inside you're saying, this doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make any sense.
Because of this simple fact. When you end up going to AA, when you end up giving yourself to the recovery cult, prior to going there, you've already decided that you want to change. And that's an internal process. But that internal process within your mind and emotions, which is, I want to change my life and I think I'm done drinking and drugging the way I used to. When you make that decision, then you go to treatment, or you go to AA, or maybe you went to AA just because that's what people force you into. And suddenly you're giving credit to this insulating cult and all the distractions of it, meaning I'm going to meetings for my disease. You don't have a disease. You know you don't have a disease. You know, even the most hardcore AAer knows deep in their heart, I'm choosing this.
Yes.
You know? Until you're taught learned helplessness, nobody feels completely hopeless. It's not until somebody frames it as, you're an addict, you're hopeless. And now, you can have a lot of feelings while you're getting drunk and high. You can have a wicked habit. You can feel really fucking beat up and sad and crushed and suicidal. You can have all kinds of tragedy around you as a result of your drinking and drugging. But ultimately, in the deepness of your mind, you know that you're making this choice and you don't know why.
Right.
So it's that confusion that gets ignored, and they give you this other solution that is meetings and apparatus and harm reduction and counseling. And it's because of your trauma. It's because of PTSD. It's because of depression. It's because. But ultimately, they're ignoring one thing, and that's that you like to get high and drunk and you see benefit in it. So when that gets ignored, the very reason that you quit, which is that you feel like I would be happier quitting or moderating than continuing down this path, that part is ignored. And so what happens is people become very confused. And we were confused.
So confused. I can remember, you know, when I would sit at a meeting and I'd have to call myself an alcoholic, I'm Michelle and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Michelle. It felt strange. It felt very strange because never did I want to believe it.
Yeah.
It was like I was in a movie. Like I felt like I was playing a role. And
a charade. We call it the charade.
It was a charade. And never once did I believe it. Never once did I think for real I would ever go back to drinking that way. But, and when I first stopped drinking, I wasn't fearful of alcohol. But when I was in AA for a period of time, I became fearful of alcohol. I became fearful of triggers.
Yeah, the straw man became real.
Yeah. And I remember now, I wasn't so fearful that I followed what people were telling me to do to the letter, right? I got involved in a relationship very early. Very early on, I had my group of women, when everybody found out that this was a secret love affair that I was having with this person that was my age, he 13-stepped me, so to speak. They took me after a meeting and went for coffee, and everybody was telling me that I would die. Right? That we were killing each other.
Because you fell in love. You die because you fell in love.
Yeah. It's and so that weird. Like you have to wait a year. And every fiber of my being was like, this is really strange.
Yeah.
And it's really strange. Like, I'm 22, he's 20. We're young people, and young people fall in love. I'm still married to that man, by the way. I just want to throw that out there. Okay. I said, well, now I'm glad the relationship's out in the open. But from that point forward, every time we had a disagreement, or when we started, you know, when we were, even after we got married and we were having trouble, I mean, we were together a few years before we got married, I always went back to that, like, somehow, because we both once had a drinking problem, that we were having these problems and all those people were right. And so it, like, creeps into your thinking that every single problem you have, normal life problems, okay, yeah, normal life problems, is because you're an alcoholic, you're an addict, even though maybe your last drink was several years before.
Yeah. So everything gets framed in that box, and it's,
which is so damaging,
which then builds relevancy to the meeting structure and your need for support, and all of the mythology becomes into your focus again.
It sure does.
And I think you just described that, like, self-doubt. Oh my God, maybe I am this person, this hopeless alcoholic. And if I don't have spiritual fitness, I'm doomed. And this relationship was I being selfish? And, you know, it's so twisted what happens to you.
It makes life harder than it has to be.
Yeah, it's a complete charade. It's a waste of time,
yeah,
and resources. But here's the good point. 95% of the people that go don't buy in.
No.
Now, out of the 5%, that's what we're doing this live event for. We're doing that for the 5%. And out of that 5% that stick it out, or maybe the 10% that are sort of hovering,
that are in and out, right? There is a certain percentage of people,
transient,
yeah, who get stuck in this revolving door, and they start to believe, I'm that person. I'm constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself. I was born that way. I am totally screwed. There is no hope for me.
And we at the Freedom Model have worked with those people for 37 years, and you are fine.
Yeah.
If you're given the right information, you will be fine.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with you. You need to know that there's nothing wrong with you. It's lies that they're telling you. So we have to go through systematically and show you, number one, what we're saying is the truth. And the truth is so incredibly simple and obvious, but it's not when you're in that religion. It's not when you're in that cult. When you're in the recovery cult, man, you're blind.
Oh boy.
Because you're getting hit with all this information that seems plausible. The other thing is, so we're going to deal with the people that are the quote unquote chronic relapsers. If you're one of those people, come to the live event, you can be free and move on. There's nothing wrong with you. There's the people who are in the 5% that aren't going in and out, that are in, but they're saying, I think I'm outgrowing this.
Yes. I think maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah. And now, if you're an ardent AA member and this is something that you really enjoy, that there isn't a single thing that we're going to say that's going to make you believe that you should leave AA, because we don't want to do that to you.
No.
I have no desire, neither does Michelle, to stop you from doing something that you think is beneficial to you. When I say the things I say about it being a cult, about insulating yourself from the risks of life, that maybe that's a big portion of the people that go to AA, but there is a portion of people that go to AA or NA or whatever that like it.
Yeah.
That genuinely find comfort there. They have good lives. It's something, it's a part of their social structure. I'm not here to wreck that for you.
No.
Go, but don't come to our event.
No.
I wouldn't, because it's just going to piss you off. Because I'm going to deconstruct something that you find valuable, and that may be really uncomfortable and unnecessary. If you're having a good experience, for God's sakes, enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it.
No.
I knew that something was amiss and that I was living a lie.
It was, I lived a life for about a decade of complete cognitive dissonance. where I was saying things to people and leading a life that felt like a lie. You know, I was saying things I didn't agree with or didn't believe in the effort to help people.
God, that's perfectly said. That's exactly how I
thought. I thought I was being helpful. And so, if somebody had called me out, like we call people out, like we call out the bullshit of AA. If somebody had called me out at that time, I probably would have stopped it sooner. I think I would have been like, no, what you're saying makes sense. Why, I don't agree with these things. But if you're somebody who is, you believe you're helping people, and you love AA and you've given of yourself. Look at, I took people into my home. People stole from me that I trusted. I sponsored a lot of people that were grifters, for lack of a better word, that were just there to prey on people. But I also sponsored a lot of wonderful people, and their lives changed. So if you're doing that, I would just keep an open mind. If you see someone who is in and out and not getting it, and you've been sponsoring them, don't do the AA bullshit with them and allow them to think that they are fucked.
Right.
Don't do that.
That's right.
Let them know, there are other ways. Maybe you should try something else.
Yeah.
You know, and we have friends that still go, right? We know people that still go to AA, who will send people our way when they know this person's never going to get it here.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to die. Yeah. Right. There's no reason to make people think that they're permanently broken because they're not making it in your program. Right.
That's right. That's right. All right. So come to the live event.
All right. So below this will be a link for you to enroll. You have to enroll to be able to get access to it. We're not going to keep it open because we don't want to open it up to a bunch of people coming in there to abuse the people that are there to learn something. It will be, the link will be below this video, June 4th, which is a Thursday. We've made it at noontime so that it can reach people around the world. Because that seems to be a time that's the best for when we have live events. That seems to be the time that works best for most people. But if you can't attend live, enroll anyways. And by the end of that day, by the end of Thursday, the 4th, you will be able to see it, see the replay of it because we'll record it.
Yep. All right, everybody.
Thank you so much for all the people that are supporting us, that are coming to our defense online. Thank you so much for all the people that are also the social media, the content creators who are also brave enough to speak out about this and who are working to help people to, you know, solve their problem without AA.
You come to the live event.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be awesome.
We would love to have you there.
Bring everybody together.
Let's bring us all together. It's really time for us all to join together and help all of those people, the 95% who don't find a solution there.
That's right.
Bye, everybody.
Take care.